This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. A few days ago, a congressman from California by the name of Duncan Hunter, who is a veteran of both Iraq and Afghanistan, was on C-SPAN and was asked about war with Iran.
Do you think war with Iran is inevitable?
I sure as hell hope not. Let's put it that way. I think a ground war in Iran with American boots on the ground would be a horrible thing. And I think people like to toss around the fact that we have to stop them in some way from gaining this nuclear capability. I don't think it's inevitable, but I think if you have to hit Iran, you don't put boots on the ground. You do it with tactical nuclear devices, and you set them back a decade or two or three. I think that's the way to do it, with a massive aerial bombardment campaign. But that's still a huge undertaking. It would cost billions and billions of dollars to do it. But no, I don't think, especially after Iraq and Afghanistan, I think America now knows its limitations in that area and what we can do. And do we want to spend 20 years there after we tear it down to build it back up again so that it isn't run by a crazy tyrannical leader like has happened in, let's say, Iraq and Afghanistan again? You got some crazy guys running the governments there. And unfortunately, what we've done to set that up has played a role in those countries not being great actors still.
That is Congressman Duncan Hunter of California a few days ago on C-SPAN. So he wants to use tactical nuclear weapons against Iran. Is that practical? Would it achieve anything, or would it just cause us more problems? Let's ask Lacey Healy. She is the Director of Middle East and Defense Policy at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. Lacey, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What do you think of the congressman's idea?
Well, the congressman's idea is really, I mean, at the least extremely irresponsible, and at the most just completely ridiculous. It's really... The congressman has a few things right. Putting boots on the ground would be extremely expensive. Putting boots on the ground would likely embroil us in the Middle East for 20 years. But he's not really talking about putting boots on the ground here. He's talking about dropping nuclear weapons.
Right.
I think the congressman has a fundamental understanding of what exactly tactical nuclear weapons do.
I don't think that the American public has any taste anymore for putting more men and women in uniform into any country in the Middle East or anywhere else after being at war for a dozen years now in Afghanistan and in Iraq, of course. What would tactical nuclear weapons do?
Yeah, absolutely. Any military situation in Iran is not preferable. We don't want to go to another war in the Middle East. We don't want to be there for another 20 years. Tactical nuclear weapons dropped on Iran's... First of all, Iran's nuclear weapons facilities are spread all over the country. So I don't know if Hunter thinks that we can just hit one of those facilities and knock out the entire program, or if he really thinks that we should drop tactical nuclear weapons all over the entire country, creating massive craters in at least five different locations and spreading radiation all over major centers of the country, including Tehran, which it has massive amounts of people. This is massive civilian casualties. This is not just a military attack. This is essentially wiping out a big section of the country. And if he's talking about, this is just if he's talking about the least severe of the tactical nuclear weapons that we have. If he's talking about the B-61, which is one of our most common tactical nuclear weapons that we would potentially use, he's actually talking about a weapon that is stronger than what we use in Hiroshima. So this is a really serious thing that he's proposing here, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah, shouldn't be thrown around lightly. As you know, in the last several weeks, there has been a diplomatic solution come to by the Obama administration and half a dozen other countries, and it seems like the new, maybe we can call him a moderate president of Iran, Rouhani, has agreed to it. Explain to me what you think that this agreement can achieve and whether it will actually go forward considering the resistance from Israel.
Sure. We have this first stage deal. The first stage deal essentially stops Iran's nuclear program in its tracks. It gives us 6 more months to negotiate a wide-ranging, vast final deal with Iran that would stop their nuclear program altogether. And right now, what it does most importantly is it gives us unprecedented access to Iran's nuclear facilities, where our inspectors are able to conduct daily inspections to make sure that Iran isn't doing anything that they're not supposed to do. This is something that we didn't have before this. We weren't able to conduct this thorough of inspections. So this makes a huge difference just in itself. And diplomats are going to be working very hard. Iranian diplomats also seem extremely interested. Of course, you know, we are trusting and verifying. And ultimately, it's really not about trust because we have those inspections. We're able to get in there and make sure that we don't have to trust them. But we, both sides, seem extremely interested in seeking a final deal, and we just have to work as hard as we can over these next 6 months and hope that that does actually happen.
Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, has come out against this, saying we should require Iran to dismantle their entire nuclear program before we relax any sanctions. President Obama was asked about this yesterday at the Saban Forum of the Brookings Institute, and he said, well, one can envision an ideal world in which Iran said, we'll destroy every element and facility, and you name it, it's all gone. Then I can envision a world in which Congress passes every one of my bills that I put forward. There are a lot of things I can envision that would be wonderful, but those things are not going to happen. Who's right here?
Yeah, I mean, I can envision a world where I go shopping for a car and I say, hey, I want to pay $5. And they say, okay, here you go. You can have it. But in a real world, I'm going to have to negotiate with a starting price. I'm going to have to go back and forth. This is a negotiation. This is not us threatening Iran until they capitulate. Iran has its own internal interests. It has its own hardliners in the country who don't trust the U.S. The politicians in Iran have to deal with many of the same things that we have to deal with. So we're trying to come to the table. We're trying to get a deal that benefits both countries and that both countries are able to live with. And ultimately, this first stage deal really comes out on our side. We gave up a tiny fraction of the sanctions relief that we've lobbed on Iran. They're still under extreme pressure. And Iran has essentially stopped all of its nuclear weapons activity. They gave us access to their plutonium facility. They stopped all of their higher enrichment. They stopped installing centrifuges in their other facilities. These are all things that we were worried about, and we essentially took care of them all. So short of completely wiping out Iran's nuclear program altogether, which we're going to get to a point where the nuclear weapons program is completely taken care of. Their energy program may still exist. We really got what we wanted, and this is a good thing for the United States and for Israel, despite what Netanyahu says.
How are things different in Iran under that new president Rouhani as compared to his predecessor, the madman Ahmadinejad?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible difference. This Rouhani, you know, skeptics are worried that he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's been extremely good for the public face of Iran, first and foremost. I mean, Ahmadinejad, every time he went on the world stage, he was a Holocaust denier. He was very vocal about the evil in the United States. He was very inflammatory. Every time he hit the world stage, it was a massive headline. This Rouhani is a politician. He understands world events. His cabinet ministers have largely been educated in the United States. They understand the politics that are involved here. They're not radicals. They don't think that we are an extreme evil on the other side of the world. And they understand that there's a deal to be had. So this is really how we've been able to move this forward. And I really think that they have the ear of the supreme leader as well, who is very smart and understands politics and knows that his country's hurting as a result of these sanctions. And economically, the people are very angry. And that's why this man was elected. That's why Rouhani is there. He's there to fix the economy. And part of fixing the economy means making a deal with the U.S.
Lacey, I've only got a minute left here, but can you tell me what happened to the green movement in Iran? We saw so much about this on Twitter a few years ago and, you know, uprisings in Tehran. Well, we don't see anything about that. Is it still around?
Yeah, absolutely. So the green movement still exists. Unfortunately, that happened in Ahmadinejad's first re-election. There was a massive uprising. People were very upset that he was elected illegitimately. They believed he was put in place by the supreme leader. Unfortunately, there was a massive crackdown on the green movement. A lot of its leaders still remain under house arrest. Iran is not a fully democratic country. This is absolutely a reality in Iran, and though the green movement still exists, it is much weaker than it was at that particular point.
But they are still trying to get more freedoms, and perhaps they can squeeze something out.
Of course, absolutely.
Of course, it all comes down to Khamenei, who is the supreme leader, the religious leader of that country, who is really the one holding the other ends of those strings. Lacey, I appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Lacey Healy is Director of Middle East and Defense Policy at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend, on the air every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks. Oh, man.